Hello everyone, and welcome to JTalk Extra Time. I'm James Taylor, and in this brief episode, I'm going to round up the action from round 11 of J2 and take a look ahead to round 12. Then, John Steele is going to review all the Lavan Cup second round games involving J2 teams. There were five round 11 games on Saturday the 20th, and let's start at Nihon Daira for the meeting between league leaders Shimizu S-Pulse and playoff contenders Vegalta Sendai. Lucas Braga put Shimizu ahead in the 16th minute, running onto Carlinhos Jr.'s back header. Koya Kitagawa doubled the lead in the 54th minute. A mix-up in midfield led to a Sendai attack breaking down. Yutaka Yoshida gained possession of the loose ball and played a long pass for Kitagawa, who turned two defenders and shot past Akihiro Hayashi. Sendai halved the deficit 11 minutes later when Motohiko Nakajima, alone at the back post, turned in Ryunosuke Sagara's low pass. But Motoki Nishihara restored the two-goal advantage in the 83rd minute. Sendai failed to clear properly, and Nishihara scored into the top right corner from 12 yards. George Onairu scored a consolation for Sendai in the 94th minute, beating two defenders and keeper Shuichi Gonda with a low, close-range shot. But time ran out. Final score, Shimizu 3, Sendai 2. Shimizu keep hold of top spot, while Sendai slipped to 7th. Sendai have been overtaken by Banpere Kofu, whose first half display blew away Zaspa Gunma. It took 6 minutes for Peter Utaka to convert a cross from the right, 4 more minutes for Adai Ilton to make it 2-0, a slip from Gunma in midfield, a run from Utaka that drew three defenders to him, and plenty of time and space for Adai Ilton to slot home the pass. By the 20th minute, it was 3-0 and game over. A corner met by a looping near post header from Kazushi Mitsuhira. With just over an hour gone, Utaka added his second and Kofu's fourth, intercepting a pass in the Gunma defence, hurdling a sliding keeper and scoring into an empty net. He could have had a hat-trick with a similar move, but shot just wide. Gunma did at least score a goal in the 5th minute of stoppage time through Shuto Kitagawa, smashing him from close range with the final kick of the game. But it ended 4-1, another chastening afternoon for Gunma, who are now bottom of the league. Kofu rise to 5th. Fagiano Okayama stay 3rd thanks to a 2-0 win at home to Raso Kumamoto. First half goals from Yuji Wakasa, who scored his first in almost 2 years in the 30th minute when he finished from Hiroto Iwabuchi's pass, and then Iwabuchi himself in stoppage time, chipping the goalie to finish a counter-attack. Those were enough for the home side. Gleason hit the post and Takaya Kimura hit the bar, while at the other end, Sven Brodersen was in acrobatic form on the few occasions he was called upon. Kumamoto were 14th, winless in 3. For Okayama, this was a first win in 5. There was also a Saturday afternoon win for the frustratingly inconsistent Monterio Yamagata, who move into the top half at the expense of their vanquished opponent Ehime FC. Zane Isaka opened the scoring for Yamagata in the 23rd minute after strong work from Taiju Yoshida set him up with an easy chance. Naohiro Sugiyama got the second in the 68th minute, ahead of him 6 yards, finishing a move that he started himself in midfield. Ehime substitute Ben Duncan got a stoppage time consolation for the mighty Migans when he ran onto a misplaced defensive pass, but it ended 2-1 to Yamagata, who are now 9th, but continue to alternate wins and losses. Ehime lose for the first time since matchday 5 and drop to 11th. Saturday's last game was a big one at the bottom between relegation zone occupants Fujiwara Mai FC and Tokushima Vortis, and it was won 1-0 by Tokushima thanks to a first J2 goal for Noah Kenshin Brown, who won a penalty in the 38th minute when he was tripped by the Fujiwara goalie. Brown had gained possession on the edge of the Fujiwara area thanks to, surprise surprise, a poor pass by a Fujiwara defender. Brown scored the penalty. Fujiwara were not without chances, the closest Akego Enomoto effort in first half stoppage time that was cleared off the line. But a team total of 4 goals scored in 11 games tells you all you need to know about how likely they looked to score here. Tokushima move off the bottom of the table to 18th, still in the relegation zone, but above 19th place Fujiwara on goal difference. There were 5 more games on Sunday the 21st, the most dramatic of which came at the Fukuda Denshi Arena, where Blaublitz Akita were the visitors to take on Jeff United Chiba. Jeff dominated this one, 25 shots according to the J-League website, and were given a man advantage in the first minute of the second half, when when a rash challenge by Akita's Koji Hachisuka was punished with a second yellow card. Jeff's dominance told in the 66th minute when Taishi Taguchi bundled in from close range. But somehow, Akita got themselves level in the 90th minute, Koya Handa's left-footed shot from the edge of the area curling into the top left corner. Then, in the 4th minute of stoppage time, Shota Aoki's shot hit a Jeff defender's elbow, penalty to Akita. Aoki stepped up and sent his shot low and to the left, but Kazuki Fujita went the same way and saved it. A Jeff defender cleared it for a corner, and Ryuji Saito rose highest to head in Akita's second and stun the home team. Final score, Jeff 1, Akita 2. Jeff dropped to 12th and have some soul-searching to do after a wasteful performance here, while Akita hopped back up to 6th and are unbeaten in 5. Two of those have been wins in which they've played a significant portion of the game with only 10 men. Elsewhere on Sunday, Viva and Nagasaki made it 11 games unbeaten in all competitions with a 1-0 home win over Yokohama FC. The goal came in the 37th minute from Edigar Jr., his 8th of the season. A cross from the right by Malcolm Tsuyoshi Moyo was flicked on by Masaru Kato, and Edigar popped up between two defenders to poke it home. Nagasaki keeping pace with leader Shimizu, they're still just a point behind in second. Yokohama FC stay 4th, but their lacklustre showing against another promotion challenger here will be a concern. Speaking of lacklustre, Oita Trinita went down 2-0 at home to Iwaki FC, both goals influenced by what I will charitably call indifferent goalkeeping from Oita's Taro Hamada. In the 59th minute, he managed to punch a high free kick that was going out for a goal kick back into play, leaving Iwaki's Yoshihito Kondo, who'd just come off the bench, to knock the ball in from close range. Then, in the 74th minute, another high ball from a similar position saw Hamada come to punch, miss, and see Hayato Teruyama's header go in. Oita are 13th, Iwaki rise a few positions to 8th. Kagoshima United won for the first time in 7 league games, seeing off fellow strugglers Tochigi SC, despite a late goal from Ishmaela. Akira Ibayashi of Kagoshima scored first, heading in Keita Fujimura's corner in the 27th minute. Mikuto Fukuda made it 2-0 5 minutes into the second half. He robbed Tochigi defender Takumi Fujitani 30 yards from goal, then his shot took a slight deflection off Fujitani's outstretched leg to spin past the keeper in off the post. Ishmaela's goal came in the 83rd minute, a close-range header, but it ended 2-1. Tochigi will rue their finishing here, with two early chances resulting in tame shots from Koya Okuda, and later Harumi Minamino hitting the post and forcing a tremendous save from Ryota Izumori. These teams swap places. Kagoshima are now 15th, Tochigi, winless in 5, are 16th. And finally, Mito Hollyhock won for the first time since the opening day, coming from behind to win 2-1 away to Renault for Yamaguchi. The hosts went ahead in the 11th minute when Mito keeper Ryusei Haruma miscontrolled a back pass and lost the ball, which found its way to Kazuya Noyori to score. Kazuma Nagai hit back immediately for Mito, a free kick rebounding off the wall to him on the edge of the area, and his shot deflecting past the keeper. The winner came in the 30th minute from Shimon Teranuma, making amends for his penalty miss last week with a deflected shot from the edge of the area after Yamaguchi lost the ball near their own box. Mito survived the last 33 minutes with 10 men, Ryosuke Maeda getting a second yellow for pulling back an opponent. Yamaguchi dropped to 10th, Mito remained one place and 3 points clear of relegation, on a run of 6 games without a loss, 5 of them draws. Just time now to take a quick look ahead to the weekend's league games. 4 of the matchday 12 games take place on Saturday the 27th. Vegata Sendai host Jeff United, struggling Zaspa Gunma face high-flying Viva and Nagasaki, and near the bottom, Mito Hollyhock welcome Fujiwara Mai FC. Those are all at 2 o'clock, plus at 2.55, Ehime play Vanfore Kofu. The other 6 games are on Sunday the 28th, starting with 2 1 o'clock kickoffs. 3rd versus 1st, that's Okayama against Shimizu, and 14th against 13th, Kumamoto against Oita. Everything else is at 2 o'clock. Playoff teams Blaublitz Akita and Yokohama FC meet at the Soyu Stadium. Tochigi take on Iwaki. Tokushima Vortis face Monterio Yamagata, and Kagoshima United play Renault for Yamaguchi. That's all from me. Now it's over to John for some Levan Cup action.
J-Talk Extra Time.
Thanks for that, James. Hi, everyone. John Steele here with a review of the Lavan Cup Round 2 action for you from a J2 perspective, of course. We're going to go back, first of all, to Wednesday, April the 17th, about 10 days ago, when roughly half of the Lavan Cup Round 2 games were played. We'll start at Shiranami Stadium, where it finished Kagoshima 0, J1's Tokyo Verdy 1. The ball seemed to be magnetised to the woodwork at times in this game. In just the second minute, Joey Yamamoto hit the Kagoshima crossbar with a shot from outside the box, set up by Thiago Alves, a former J2 player, of course. At the other end of the pitch, Kōki Arita headed against the base of the Verdy post as Kagoshima threatened. And then the visitors hit the crossbar again via another rookie forward, Manato Furukawa. And then they took the lead right at the end of the first half. Thiago Alves again setting up Yamamoto, this time with a superb kind of backheeled flick. And this time the young midfielder's rising drive from the edge of the box went into the back of the net to make it 1-0. In the second half, Kagoshima came close to equalising when Arita managed to get his knee onto a cross from the left wing, but again, the frame of the goal came to the rescue and the ball came back off the crossbar. And Tokyo Verdy held on to win, so it finished Kagoshima 0, Tokyo Verdy 1. Another J2 team was eliminated at the Hawaiian Stadium. It finished Iwaki 0, Niigata 2, and the J1 visitors got off to a great start when they took the lead in the sixth minute of this game. Iwaki couldn't clear a corner, and Takumi Hasegawa rifled the loose ball into the net via the crossbar from just inside the penalty area. In the second half, Niigata had a goal disallowed for handball. I think it was the correct decision against Shusuke Ota. Iwaki had their chances as well, and this game was in the balance until stoppage time. The home side conceded a ridiculous second goal. Their goalkeeper, Shuhei Shikano, took a heavy touch in possession when he was standing virtually on his own goal line, and Kaito Taniguchi took full advantage and helped himself to the crucial second goal. Dear oh dear, it's not something that Shikano will want to see again. So the final score, Iwaki 0, Niigata 2. There was J2 glory for Nagasaki, though, in their game against Iwata at Transcosmos Stadium. This one finished Nagasaki 1, Iwata 0. The vital goal came in the 53rd minute of this game, Kazuki Kushibiki heading in a corner with nobody on the post to defend it from an Iwata perspective. Nagasaki had their goalkeeper Tomoya Wakahara to thank for preserving their lead late on. He did brilliantly to claw an Iwata header off the goal line, and despite having 22 shots in the 90 minutes versus Nagasaki's 3, J1 Iwata were knocked out. It finished Nagasaki 1, Iwata 0. Nagasaki's reward for their fine display is a game against another J1 side, Urawa Reds, in the third round next month. Moving on to the midweek games from this week from the Lavan Cup then, and there was a great victory for Toyama, who knocked out J2 leaders Shimizu S-Pulse. This game was 0-0 after extra time, with Toyama winning 6-5 in the penalty shootout. And I think you're going to hear a lot more about this game from Mike Innes next week on J-Talk Short Corner. But very briefly, fantastic win for Toyama. They did have an early escape, though, when Shimizu forward Douglas Tanke headed against the crossbar. In the shootout, the goalkeepers faced off at the 8th kick when the tie went to sudden death penalties. Toyama keeper Tomoki Tagawa scored his penalty. He was the hero moments later. He saved his counterpart Yuya Oki's kick. And Toyama won 6-5 on penalties. So Shimizu might be top of J2, but they're out of the Lavan Cup. And well done to Toyama. You'll hear more about them from Mike in J-Talk Short Corner, as mentioned. In the other Lavan Cup games, with a J2 participant, it finished Kumamoto 0, Tosu 1 in their Kyushu derby. A goal midway through the first half was enough for Tosu to win this match and get revenge for their Emperor's Cup exit at Kumamoto's hands last season. The vital goal came in the 26th minute, Ayumu Yokoyama firing into the roof of the net from about 15 yards when the ball fell perfectly for him inside Kumamoto's penalty area. Kumamoto keeper Yuya Sato, nice to see he's still around, he got his hands to the ball but wasn't able to keep it out. So Kumamoto 0, J1's Tosu 1 was the full-time score in that one. There was not really any sign of a cup shock at Shoda Stadium, where it finished Gunma 1, Kashiwa 3. Kashiwa sewed this game up with three goals in the final 12 minutes of the first half. First of all, Yuki Muto broke the deadlock with a very well taken kind of flick header, and Yugo Tatsuta bundled in a corner at the far post to make it 2-0. Then right on the stroke of half-time, a low drive from the edge of the box from Sachiro Toshima, wearing the captain's armband for Kashiwa, put the game beyond Gunma at 3-0 at the break. Gunma did get a consolation goal in stoppage time at the end of the second half, and it was the goal of the game, really. Ryo Sato cut in from the right flank and sent a brilliant 25-yard curler past Kashiwa's keeper Tatsuya Morita, who was rooted to the spot. But yes, a fantastic goal, but just a consolation, and it finished Gunma 1, Kashiwa 3. Another J2 side that will be in round 3 next month are Blaubitz Akita. They had a great result at home to Shonan in round 2, ending up winning 2-1 after extra time, and Akita coming back from a goal down to win this game. Shonan almost went ahead early on when a shot from Taiyo Hiroka, who was very impressive on the night, was deflected onto the post. And the J1 side then took the lead 9 minutes into the second half, Sho Fukuda sweeping in at Hiraoka's low cross from inside the 6-yard box. Akita, though, as we know they are quite prone to do, rolled up their sleeves and equalised with 15 minutes to go, Shota Aoki drilling in a shot from the edge of the box that was too hot for Shonan's keeper Song Bumkun to hold on to. So the game went to extra time at 1-1, and in the 8th minute of the additional period, Akita grabbed their winner. Shonan's goalkeeper Song made a mess of dealing with a cross from the right, and a pair of Akita substitutes combined for what proved to be the winning goal. Daiki Sato fired the ball across the box for Ren Komatsu to tap in and make the final score Akita 2, Shonan 1. So well done to Akita, a great result for them, and they will have a home game against Niigata in the next round in May. So yeah, well done to Akita, fantastic result. Last but not least, for the J2 participation in the Levan Cup, there was a cracker in an all J2 tie at City Light Stadium. It finished Okayama 3, Yokohama FC 3 after extra time, and Yokohama eventually triumphed 5-3 in the penalty shootout. So a fairly breathless game, this one. Okayama took an early lead when Yudai Tanaka swept in a volley from about 10 yards out. But Yokohama were level before half-time, thanks to a superb rising drive from the edge of the penalty area from Hinata Ogura, a first pro goal for the rookie midfielder. 10 minutes into the second half, and Yokohama were in front. The ball dropped just kindly for Solomon Sakuragawa right on the edge of the 6-yard box, and he fired into the roof of the net to make it 2-1. But that lead only lasted for 5 minutes, as Takaya Kimura went racing clean through of the Yokohama FC backline and fired past the goalkeeper Kengo Nagai to make it 2-2. That forced extra time, and Okayama seemed to have won the tie when they went 3-2 up right at the start of the extra time period, when a through ball was blocked by a defender. Tanaka fired in his second goal of the game from the edge of the box. It seemed like Okayama were heading through, but there was another twist in this one, as it was 3-3 in the 107th minute. Brazilian attacker Caprini swivelling and firing a low shot past Okayama keeper Daiki Hotta from about 12 yards. So we went to penalties, and in the shootout, Yokohama's keeper Nagai saved Yuji Wakasa's spot kick, and the visitors scored all 5 of their penalties to advance to the next round. So 3-3 after extra time, 5-3 to Yokohama FC on penalties, and the visitors to Mitsuzawa to face Yokohama FC in round 3 will be a J1 opposition in the form of Nagoya Grampus. So a fairly mixed bag of J2 results, you'd have to say, from the second round of the Levan Cup. I think we only have 3 teams from the 20 into the third round. And of course, Kofu, another J2 side, will join later on because of their ACL participation. So perhaps not the biggest confidence boost for the J2 sides after the second round of the Levan Cup action. But as I'm sure I'll discuss with James at some point, I think the competition so far has been much improved from the usual fairly boring, you know, all J1 groups stage. So yeah, we have to give a kudos to the organisers for making a really interesting change to the format for this season. All right, that's all from the pod from us for this week, I think. Thanks for listening to James and I flying solo. It's been the first time in a while that we've done that, and we don't want to do it regularly, but scheduling made it kind of necessary for this week. But I think we're up to date with everything from the world of J2 for now. So yeah, we'll say goodbye, and we'll speak to you very soon. Hopefully we'll be back to normal service next next week. But thanks as always for listening and downloading the pod. We really appreciate that support, whether it comes from Patreon or the free Podbean feed. And I know the guys at the big JTalk podcast appreciate it as well. So thanks for sticking by us. And we'll talk to you again soon. Enjoy your weekend football. Take care. Bye for now.